Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and welcome to our podcast for today, Friday, the 25th of January. General Galen Shaw joins me. Everybody else is back in Los Angeles, unable to make it. General, good of you to join me.
Well, it's the least I can do. I heard nobody was going to be with you, so hell, I'll go up there.
Well, it's very kind of you.
Well, we have to make a big thing out of it.
You like San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco is a nice change of pace from the Los Angeles thing, but you see San Francisco, people love to say, oh, you went to San Francisco. Yes, I went to San Francisco. You see it, and you're good for another year,
Well, the city is still, it's a, a romantic turn from Los Angeles.
Well, you see, they're right there. I love, you're like my wife, Patsy. Oh, let's go to San Francisco and look at the bird. What do you call the thing? The bird on top of a hill? What is it?
Bird on top of a hill.
What was the Tony Bennett?
I left my heart?
Yeah, well, there you are. I left my heart in San Francisco. And I don't know what she's talking about.
Your wife is, obviously women are romantic. It's a good city for women.
What do you mean it's a good city? It's a good city to leave women in.
No, it's a good city to vacation with a woman. Let's put it this way. If you can't afford Paris and you can't afford, what else is romantic?
What else is, you mean cities?
Yeah.
Paris, and that's a, well, some people say, Paris, Rome.
Rome, yeah, if you can't afford any of those places.
Well, at least you can afford San Francisco. That's great. When we were driving in today, I looked to my right, and I saw that AT&T ballpark.
Yeah, that's where the Giants play.
Right. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the bay, and I'm thinking, who are the guys? People like to swim around in that water.
Sheesh. Well, you think it's polluted?
Do I think? I know it's polluted. It's the San Francisco Bay, for God's sake.
Well, I think there must be some water recycling going on, don't you? I mean, they have boats over there. I often see people during the season swimming or snorkeling.
Yeah, I don't know. Better them than me. Let me put it. And the other thing that I'm worried about here, and I don't mean to come off sounding like some kind of a chicken, but the flu. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that flu bug?
Yeah, that flu bug that's going around. I'm going to tell you right now, it's putting people away. And you got that flu and that pneumonia, didn't you?
I got a few years ago. That's what, as I've said so often, I got the swine flu.
Yeah, right there. That's what the swine flu. This deal that's going around now, they say, makes swine flu look like the sniffles.
Well, it's pretty serious.
You better believe it's serious. So I went downstairs. I said to the kid, I said, where do you get the thing, the gauze masks? And he looks at me like I just landed in a flying saucer. I said, let me tell you something, my friend.
The last guy who was what? Asian?
I didn't put it that way.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of Asian bellmen, as there are many, many Asian Americans living in San Francisco. And so what offensive thing you're about to say?
What offensive thing you're about to say? Folks, if you have any kind of a grammar handbook, what is it that you wanted to say? I wanted to say the last guy with a haircut like yours that said to me, I forget what it was now.
Well, it was the flu, right? Weren't you,
No, I said to the guy, do you have gauze masks?
Yeah.
And he said, what are you inferring? That I've got bad breath? And I said, I'm not inferring anything. That's on you. All I want is a gauze mask so I can walk around looking like Dr. Kildare. What do I give a shit?
All right. Well, thanks anyway, General.
Well, I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here, but you're...
I'm what?
You're pondering what you just said. So that was... you had this conversation when?
When we checked in. And you went upstairs because you needed to do... I don't know what you were doing. And I stayed downstairs because I wanted to get a box of those Kit Kats. You see those chocolates?
Yeah.
Those are mine, okay?
Yeah, I don't want that garbage, so don't worry about it.
Garbage?
I don't eat that stuff, man. I don't want it. So what about it?
But anyway, I was downstairs, and I'm getting some... I was looking over, they got the candy bars. And that's when I said to this guy, I said, they got the flu. And this guy said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, it's crawling all over San Francisco. Everywhere you turn, there's someone that's sweating, collapsing to the pavement.
Oh, horseshit.
Well, that's the way he was sounding. And I said, is that bad, huh? He said, yeah, well. He said, it looks like it's affecting you. And I said, you think I'm sick? He said, no, but I think you believe everything I'm saying. And that's when I said, you know what, pal? You can take this whole town. And as I said on the show yesterday, you can hammer it right straight up your ass. He said, hammer it. I said, yeah. And then I walked off as he pondered that. What was I saying?
You're talking about getting gauze masks.
Oh, yeah. So I went to the kid. I said, where do I get a gauze mask? And he said, what, so you can walk around looking like you're giving somebody a rectal exam? Ha, 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 ha. And I said, man, you know what? The last guy that looked like you who laughed that way at me, he was saying, you know, take care of yourself, and I was leaving a POW camp. And anyway,
you were never a POW.
I know, I'm fucking around, so.
All right, folks, enough of the stale. He was,
it was a joke.
Leaving a POW camp. All right, anyway, that's where we are today, here in the great city of San Francisco. Now, I was driving up here, and for the first time in a long time, I was listening to the radio. And I was listening to talk radio, because if you flip on the radio, you can listen to FM, and there's no music there I want to hear, because all the music that I want to hear, I got programmed into my phone, I got my iPod, the pod, whatever the hell you got, you know, whatever it's called now. I got what I need, you know?
Yeah, Henry's got, what do you got, like 2,000 songs or something?
I got a lot of music. So anything I could possibly want to hear, I just put it right into that little player, man, and I'm good to go. So I ain't going to listen to the radio for music. It's the dumbest pursuit. It's the dumbest waste of time, in my opinion, that one can waste.
All right, you made that point. You got your little shot in on radio that way. What's the next shot you're going to get in?
Oh, so you think that's it, huh?
I know that's it. You delight. Henry delights in just taking a shot here, taking a shot. You wish you were still on the radio, don't you?
No, not the environment that they have now. Not at all.
Oh, horse shit.
Hey, man, you know what? I was the guy that was on the air. Don't you think I would at least, respect you enough to give you the truth?
Well, you had to think about the word respect.
What?
Now, never mind. So what? So you weren't listening to music?
Well, you were in the car with me.
No, I wasn't. I drove up by myself.
Oh, why did I think, wow.
Woo! All right, okay. This guy thinks that I was sitting. Were you talking to me, too?
No, I was thinking maybe of something else.
Thinking of what else? When were you and I ever traveling in a car together?
In San Diego.
In San, what, for that Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago.
Ooh.
You know, Phil, lie down before you fall down.
All right, so I'm driving up there to where we are now, and I'm listening to the radio, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not listening for music, so I'm not on FM.
Now, FM's got talk radio, though.
Yeah, you know, but you might as well go to the Matrix. Go to the place where you're going to hear all of the talk radio, it unvarnished. Absolutely. A lot of the talk radio here on FM, though, is sports talk.
Well, what about the, who's the guy, Opie and,
Opie's not on FM anymore, man. He was on satellite.
What about, and Stern's not?
Stern isn't either, no. So, no, all the stuff on FM is mostly sports. Then you go to AM. That's where you still got the old school, the old line conservative talk. And that's what I was listening to. And I was struck by how unhinged.
You're talking about, who are you specifically talking about?
I'm just talking about how unhinged the whole right wing talk radio thing sounds. I mean, I'm not gonna single out any issue, okay? But these guys now, remember Rush Limbaugh, right?
He was a big fish for a long time.
Yeah. I was listening to Rush today. He's totally bought into the whole deep state thing.
And you know, the other thing about, and I'll tell you one thing, I was listening to Limbaugh. He sounds like some old woman. What happened? Did his ears go on him again?
Why, what's he sound like?
Well, you were listening to him.
I don't know. I suppose, yeah, he changed a little bit, but it was noticeable.
Yeah, he's talking like this. He goes, that's that Rush Limbaugh. Are you kidding me or something?
Well, both, when I was listening to Limbaugh and I was listening to Hannity, both of them, their voices have changed. And I didn't chalk that up to anything other than just getting older, because the last time I listened to those guys, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating, it's been years. It's got to be over 10 years since I sat down and listened to either one of those shows. And when I first got in the car this morning, as I was leaving the house, I was listening to Mike Gallagher.
Now, who's this guy, Gallagher?
He's a right-wing guy. He's a little bit more recent than Hannity and Limbaugh. He's got a you know what? He hasn't lost his sense of humor like the both of those guys have.
Now, well, you know, when you're Hannity is a embittered guy. He's taken karate, and he wants to rip the throat out of somebody. Jeez.
He's taking karate.
Yeah, he's getting lessons from a martial arts guy. The other guy you're talking about, Limbaugh, has completely flipped. There's nothing left upstairs on him.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. Both of them sound really flipped out. Look, I, like I said, I'm not going to get into any specific issue, and I don't want to debate politically, but what I'm saying is stuff that you never thought they would buy into, they've bought into. The deep state thing.
Well, indeed, that's that alt-right. Are you putting me on?
No, I'm not, man.
What are they saying?
They're saying, the deep state, man, the deep state this, deep state that. So in other words, they think the whole thing is a conspiracy of cats that were appointed by Obama, and they're still there, and they're, you can blow it up in a second because you think to yourself, well, why wouldn't Trump just start to appoint a whole bunch of new guys and get rid of these cats?
Well, I think the point, they can't, can they? I mean, are they able to...
Why can't they?
Well, they can't fire... What do you mean? What do you do, fire them?
Look, there's a whole bunch of people that they haven't even appointed. The place is like... Rather than say there's a whole deep state apparatus, there's nobody, man. I mean, they got to appoint people because there's a lot of jobs that have not... A lot of positions that haven't been filled.
And what's the guy's name again?
Who?
The guy on the radio, Phil.
Limbaugh. You know who he is.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And then the other guy's Hannity.
And Hannity's on about that, too. The deep state this, the conspiracy. He wants he wants all these guys fired. Now, I read this guy named Will Sommer.
What's the guy's name?
Will Sommer. He's a commentator.
Yeah.
And he's got a right-wing newsletter. And he has a newsletter that observes the right wing, comments on it. He's not right wing himself.
What? Say that again?
General.
Look, Phil, you know, I know a lot of these things are obvious to you and a lot of the screwballs that listen to you. I'm not that invested in the stuff. See, I'm trying to figure this out.
The guy's name is Will Sommer. He is, I would say, a progressive writer, but he has a newsletter that he puts out, and I subscribe to it, that he reviews right wing media.
Okay, now I got it.
Yeah. And it's his feeling that they're so goofy and screwy over at Fox. I mean, they're so, so far to the right and so into the deep state and so, like, ready to throw Mueller into prison, you know.
Now I know what you're... Yeah, these guys, they flipped their lids a long time ago. They're not real conservatives like me. I voted for Donald Trump, all right? But I don't walk around going, ooh, you know, I'm not walking around with my finger in my ear. And I think most of the people who voted for Donald Trump are sober, sound people.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you regret your vote?
No, I do not.
But you've said...
I've said a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff he does I don't like. But I don't regret the vote, no, because essentially his political philosophy closely aligns with mine.
Conservatism.
Yes. Now, does he say and do a lot of jackball stuff? Of course he does. Is he a real weird ass? Should he shut his... Most people don't like the thing that drives me ape is what everybody else said. You know, this tweeting and the Twitter, good Christ.
Yeah. Well, that's what's got a lot of people crazy.
Crazy? Trump would do himself a world of good if he took his phone and broke it in half and threw it into a river and just said, let's pretend like we never met. But I know that that's not going to work because he's got to have Twitter because it gives him a big thrill.
Shit.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I mean, it does give him a big thrill. And the thing that I dig about, if there's anything I like about Donald Trump, I like his rationale, his raison, you know, for using Twitter. And that is...
Let me, was that French?
Yeah.
What did that mean?
His reason. For using Twitter is, as he said, it's like publishing your own newspaper every day. And he's right, especially when you've got whatever he's got, like 40 million followers.
Yeah. Well, he's got 40 million, but Obama's got like 90. And that's the other thing about Trump and that I wish he wouldn't do. The guy, he goes ape whenever he sees that Obama is kicking ass on. See, you know what I'm saying? So in other words, he compares himself to Obama, and Obama walks around cool, calm, and collected. And I got a philosophy that's, I think Obama walks around just all here, yeah, you know, like... Because he knows it drives Trump ape. And the more ape Trump goes, the less he's able to, you know, he's got rocks in his head.
Well, the less he's able to think.
The less he's able to think. But it's going to backfire because I think if Obama is walking around, yeah, playing tennis, playing golf, You know, going out, he's rubbing elbows with all the big stars. Meanwhile, Trump's locked up in his bathroom in the White House, tweeting with his robe down around his ankles, trying to get a quick...
Okay.
Well, it's not funny. I mean...
It is to me.
Right. Well, there's Trump in the White House with his robe down
around his ankles.
Down around his ankles, trying to whack his meat.
And what'd you say?
I don't want to say it.
All right.
And he's trying to tweet and trying to whack off. I don't know what he's doing. And then he sees Obama rubbing elbows with all the big stars and the celebrities and all that garbage. And he wants to leap right through the little small window in the toilet and just dive right into the row. I don't know what the hell he wants.
Through the small window in the toilet.
You know what I'm talking about.
He wants to commit suicide.
Yes, but he wants to commit suicide in a specific way. He wants to squeeze through the small window in the toilet and dive in a robe. You know,
all right, I understand what you're saying. So it distracts him, and...
You better believe it distracts him.
Yeah, it distracts him. It makes him crazy, and Obama knows this. I suspect a lot of people, and I said to a guy the other day, I think I've said it at the pre-show audience, President Trump is too easy to read. If I were to give him any advice, I'd say, you gotta, you know, talk about tweeting too much. That's talking too much. And when you're talking too much and you're in the job that he's in, you're letting your political opponents know everything you're thinking.
That's exactly right.
And you're letting not only your political opponents, you're letting your adversaries overseas in other countries, et cetera, know what you're thinking. And I've always said that Trump is the easiest guy in the world to anger, to provoke, and also to predict. I don't think it's very hard to predict his moves.
Now, this is something, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, this is something that Henry has been blathering about for a long time, right?
What do you mean blathering?
Well, you're talking about, yeah, hey, I can predict everything. Now, what do you mean by that?
Just what I said, man. All you have to do is, if you have enough juice... And you have enough political celebrity, and you, people know who you are, and you make a statement about Donald Trump, he will automatically do the opposite thing because he doesn't want to appear predictable. So, for instance, if you say, I knew that he wasn't going to fire Steve Bannon until it was something that he could do under the radar, until it was something that he could do without a lot of publicity. And he did. He basically did it so it redounded in a positive way.
Well, yeah, but nobody... Steve Bannon, they hated his guts in the White House.
Yeah, but in the overall, in the public... I don't know, what are we talking about this stuff for?
I don't know. You brought it up because he's listening to right-wing radio, folks. And I told Phil, I said, don't listen to that crap because it's going to drive you ape.
The only reason why I brought it up is because I was listening to it.
Why are we listening? Because I was listening to it. Hey,
you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
I was listening to it because it was the only thing to listen to. So I heard Gallagher, then I heard Hannity. Speaking of a guy whose voice has changed, I wasn't sure that was Hannity because he was sort of talking. Back in the day, Sean Hannity, he would talk like this. And,
you know, one thing you haven't tweeted about is the fact that didn't he lick your ass when you were in Atlanta?
I've talked about that.
You've talked about it on pre-shows. You haven't brought it up on the podcast, have you?
Well, what's the bring up?
The guy, he called you when you were... Weren't the two of you guys were on in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, Sean was on WGST. I was on WSB. And he went to the University of Santa Barbara, and I was at WVEN in Ventura. So I think he heard me in both places.
Right, and he calls you up and starts licking your ass, yes or no?
He didn't call me up and start licking my... He said he thought I was funny, he liked my show, so on and so forth.
Right, and he was going off to New York, and you were on your way to Minneapolis.
Yeah, and I've already, you know, said that in a very self-effacing way and made that humorous. So what's your point?
Well, no, I mean, my point is I don't think Mabel... You know...
Did you just call me Mabel?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, but no, I didn't. What I'm saying is you should have come clean with him then. You should have said, hey, Sean... don't go to New York and turn into a horse's ass if you can help it. I'm Phil Hendry. Hey, you know, something like that.
Well, I wasn't about to do that. But anyway, he's very nice to me.
But he would talk like this,
and we used to give him crap about that, and it was all good. I actually went to a couple of radio seminars that he, you know, he was the moderator.
He was the moderator of a radio seminar?
Yeah.
Why is he? Why weren't you the moderator?
Because he's more famous than me, man. Because that was the big pull. That was the draw.
Jesus.
Anyway, so the guy was going along, and, you know, with the greatest of respect, he was never really an original act, Sean Hannity. He was never really all that original. He just took Limbaugh and he recycled Limbaugh through his fresh scrubbed, you know, Irish Catholic. I guess he's Catholic. Do you think he is?
Well, he's got that whole, excuse me for saying, folks, but he's got that whole Mick thing.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. He's got, you know, he's...
He looks like a Mick.
I should have done the Margaret Bubble.
Well, I think we all know what you're saying.
Anyway, he's got that down. He's got the young, youthful, cute boy bullcrap. So you can take the Limbaugh philosophy, take it out of the fat body of Rush, and squeeze it into the slender, you know...
Mick.
Body of the...
Got it, General. So, yeah, I think that's what he did effectively. Now, lately, to me... I think he's beginning to channel Alex Jones.
Oh, so you think he's nuts?
That's what I've been saying to you, man.
Hey, Phil, you didn't say that to me on the air. You said it. Did you say it off the air?
I've been all day long. I said I think that Hannity has flipped his lid. I think he's nuts. I think he's cuckoo.
You literally do?
Yes, I do.
You think clinically that he needs a doctor and he needs a regimen of antipsychotic medications?
I don't know about that. I'm just telling you. The way these cats are talking, not just Hannity, but Limbaugh, it sounds like they've lost their minds, that the paranoia has just overtaken them, that it's got its tentacles deep into their brain cells, and I heard Rush today, and he thinks the whole opposition to Trump is a figment of somebody's imagination. He doesn't think it exists. He doesn't
buy the fact that 30%, he doesn't buy the fact there's some of us that voted for Trump and think he's a real horse's ass.
No, he really doesn't. He doesn't buy that. He doesn't buy that there's only a 30, he doesn't buy that there's only a 30% of the electorate base. He thinks it's more. He doesn't believe any of it because he believes that the media is in cahoots with the deep state and they're lying and manipulating everything. And it's such an easy enough thing to disprove. All you have to do is take a look at the polling, the methodology, who's doing the polling, but who they're asking, what are the questions they're asking, so on and so forth, and the wide and disparate kinds of, you know,
who are you trying to convince, him or yourself? You know, you see, that's right now people are going, hey, General Shaye, good one.
Yeah.
Well...
No, I'm not trying to convince myself. Anyway, we're off, you know.
We're off to see the wizard is what we're doing.
All right. Anyway, we're in San Francisco.
Now, let's take a look at this view. Phil has a, thank you very much. You know, I'm here at the same hotel. I don't want to tell people where we are, but it's on Market Street. And it's overlooking you're overlooking Market Street right here.
Yeah. Where are you staying?
In the same, right here. But I'm stacked, my room is on the other side, and I'm looking at some dump. I'm looking at the ass end of some Chinese bar or something. I don't know what it is.
You're looking at like an alley?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm overlooking garbage cans. So
I don't believe that for a second.
If you don't, you can come over and take a look. But this is nice.
Well, that's Market Street down there. You're from Fresno, right?
Yeah.
When I was driving through Fresno today, I heard a guy by the name of Steve Appleton.
Oh, yeah, Steve. Yeah, oh, hell yeah. Steve Appleton, yeah.
Steve Appleton. This cat has been on the air in Fresno for years, huh?
Oh, yeah. Steve Appleton's been on in Fresno. Well, well after I got out of the Army and everything. But he's at least the 80s. I'd say about 30 years.
30 years. That's what he said. And the guy was very smooth. Now, he wasn't doing a heavy personality show, but he was doing kind of, he reminded me of, maybe he was doing a personable financial advice show.
No, Steve Appleton is just like Mr. Fresno, and he knows where all, you know, all the bodies are buried. He knows who did what to who,
but he didn't sound like that kind of a guy.
He's not. I'm screwing around. He's very much the gadfly. He, you know, where are the wine tastings?
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Right, where are the wine tastings? And you know, and Fresno has been known for many years, folks, but he's got such a wonderfully personable style that a lot of people think he's nationally syndicated.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what... This guy, folks, was so good. And I mean, in just his delivery and his personality, this cat was so... I thought he was so smooth that he should at least on some level be a national host. And when he said... And he goes, and this is KMJ, and we're in Fresno, and here's the number. This dude's local.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's low. Now, the problem with this guy, Appleton, and a lot of people who don't... I used to call him Applehead, and the reason I did is because he started getting political,
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, well, you know, to survive, you got to... But he got a little predictable with the political stuff. Look, you're in Fresno, California. Jack, you better be far right. And I mean, you better... If you're in Fresno or Bakersfield, you better go get fitted for jack boots. And, oh, horseshit. Well, that's pretty close.
Get out of here.
No, I'm telling you. You better... If you're on the radio in either Fresno or Bakersfield, California, you need to go out and get jodhpur pants... jack boots, a whip, a funny-looking helmet, and just, you know, just walk around with the big stiff leg like you just took one up the, you know, the way they used to march.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
So the Germans...
Folks, Phil just went like this. Jesus Christ. What are you... Hey, bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah. We're talking here with General Galen Shaw. I'm Phil Henry. This is our podcast, such as it is, for Friday. And we are live, not live, we're dead, we're not dead, we're existing here in,
it's a podcast.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco. And we're talking about Steve Appleton, which nobody knows outside of Fresno who this gentleman is, but I just thought he sounded really good.
Great. Well, why don't you manage him, get him a big-time gig, and just take your career and throw it, what's left of it, into a garbage can. And people say, aren't you Phil Henry? And yeah, what are you doing now? Managing Steve Appleton.
Jesus. I'm just, what's wrong with giving a guy a compliment?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but, you know, let's move on.
Anyway, this guy was very good. So if
you're ever blowing through Fresno, folks, and quite frankly, if there's a God, I hope it never happens, but if for whatever reason God begins to sag a bit and lets loose of the universe for a few seconds and you wind up in Fresno, tune in Steve Appleton.
Jesus. You know what, man? That's very unfair. You're making it sound like he sucks.
No. Steve Appleton's great. You're a Looney Tune.
All right. Well, I'll take that. Let's see what else is going on.
You know, I wish you had. There he goes with the phrase. What else is going on? That is a sure sign. A guy's done no prep.
Come on, General.
No, that's a sure sign that a guy's done no prep, and the guy has just decided he's going to wing it. Through his hour or whatever it is he's doing. What else is going on?
All right, well, I'm sorry I did it. We can go back and edit it out.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, this is Phil Henry along with General Galen Shaw, who's in a rare mood.
Now, what are you watching? A friend's seminar? Or what? It's not a friend's seminar. What do you call it?
A friend's marathon.
Yeah, what are you watching that?
I don't know, man. I flipped the tube on, and it's been one friend's after another.
You like that show?
I never watched it. Here's the thing. When all these shows were on in the 90s, I was like full speed ahead with my career. I had the pedal to the floor. I was in Atlanta. Then I was in Minneapolis. Then I was in Miami. Then I came to L.A. And I never had, and all those places I worked, I was working at night. Or if I wasn't working at night, like in Miami, I was doing afternoon drive. When I got home, I didn't want to do anything other than just stare at a wall. So I never got to see any of those shows.
So you didn't watch all the big shows. And you remember the must-see TV, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember must-see. You know, when we did our pilot for NBC, that was under the same regime that created the whole must-see TV franchise. Now, I don't know whether...
And that was Jeff Zucker.
Yeah. But I don't know if he green-lit those shows or not.
No, he didn't green-light those shows. Those shows were green-lit or green-lighted, or whatever you guys... by another guy, but he's the guy that oversaw the last few years of the whole thing going to hell in a handcart. She's like, I shouldn't have brought him up then.
Let's forget about him, okay? So we're talking about the show's Friends.
We're talking about Friends. We're talking about Seinfeld.
That's it, yeah.
And hold on. And we're talking, what the hell is that?
It's people talking in the hallway.
Boy, are they loud? What are they, drunk? I hear these people, folks, they're out there just, yeah, hey, yeah. And I'm like, why don't you shut your drunken sewer? Anyway, you got Seinfeld. You got the guy...
Frasier.
That's the guy, Frasier. Now, you had those three shows, but then there was The Hammock. You know what I mean by The Hammock?
Well, it's not quite... Well, yeah, I suppose you could call it The Hammock, although what the general is referring to is there was Seinfeld and there was Frasier... And they used that 9:30 slot, was it?
I think it was 9:30, yeah.
And they tried to make a few shows, hit shows there. And I don't know whether they succeeded or not.
Well, I can think of two shows that came on between... Like, get me, look at, I'm talking about TV trivia. See? Anybody can do it.
Yeah, I guess so, if you watch TV.
I guess I watch more TV than you, huh? What do you watch now?
I don't watch jack shit.
You don't watch jack shit, is that right?
That's right.
Have you ever seen the...
You can ask me about anything, man. I haven't seen it.
What's your problem? Are you too good for it?
No, man. I work my ass off. The last thing I want to do is flip on the tube. The only thing I want to see on TV are, like, football games, history.
Yeah. I get it already, Phil. You want to watch history? You want to watch some guy playing a bassoon in the Boston Philharmonic? You know,
Maybe I just want to see something different.
Yeah, I know. But you haven't seen... Phil's never seen Walking Dead, have you?
No, but I can guess pretty much what it looks like.
No, you can't. You think it's just about zombies, huh? It's an entire milieu. It's an entire world of people.
Yeah, and they're trying to escape the zombies, and there's all kinds of interpersonal...
No, you don't get it. There's the dead, there's Game of Thrones, and then there was the one Downton Abbey. You ever see that?
No.
And then there was another one that you didn't watch for love or money. And I asked Phil, I said, you got to watch it. He said, I wouldn't watch that with your eyes. It was, what was the name of that show? You hated it. Oh, I know, Tennessee Ernie Ford. Now, anyway,
come on, man.
But what? So you've never seen any of them?
No, I haven't, man. I haven't seen any of them. And I don't think I'm missing anything either.
Well, I got news for you. Yes, you are.
Well, okay. But I don't think I am.
You're always talking about how you're not culturally relevant.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother me. See, that's the thing. You don't stick around long enough to hear the other side of that.
You are not culturally relevant, and you don't give a shit?
No, I don't. I don't give a shit.
You're officially old. Yeah, hey, all right.
Well, you know what? I'm proud of you for watching those shows. Which is your favorite show?
What do you mean, which is my favorite show?
Of the ones you just mentioned.
Well, The Walking Dead. Oh, Breaking Bad. You ever see that?
No.
Holy Christ. All the great record, groundbreaking television. When Phil was growing up, he had The Flying Nun. And no wonder you don't want to watch any of the good stuff. Your mind is rotted out from too many, from The Flying Nun flying around in your mind. Jesus.
I doubt it.
No, I'm serious. Your mind has rotted from the inside out, and you can no longer appreciate good television. Because you got a fly, you got a flying nun and a woman. What's the one? My mother, the car. God damn.
Well, that could very well be true. I don't know. But point being, you're right. I watch football. I watch hockey.
Anyway, yeah, he's got the hockey. One thing Phil's got, you got that hockey subscription, right?
I got the hockey channel, yeah.
Jesus H. Christ. This guy knows more about the Ottawa ass plug. Excuse my language, but...
Yeah, really, General.
Well, you know, who are these teams? The Ottawa ass plugs versus the Boston butt...
It's the Ottawa Senators.
I know what they're called. But I think, Phil, with all due respect, you've got to bring it back home. You remember the song by Sam Cooke?
Bring It On Home to Me.
That's right. If you've ever changed your mind about leaving... It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but it does say is you got to bring it on home, get it back home, get your mind back home where you can, put it in a hot tub. It's not your mind, but your whole, I don't know, but you've got to pull it together, son, because it's not doing you any good.
Are we talking about watching television?
Oh yeah. Well,
so. What were we? We were discussing TV.
Well, Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, what was the Hammock Show?
Yeah, the Hammock Show. So back then in the 90s, when Phil was still watching TV, there was the... What's going on with your phone?
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Back in the 90s, when Phil was still watching TV, you had Seinfeld, and that was 9 o'clock, right?
I believe it was, because I think the Hammock Show that you're referring to was 9:30 to 10.
Right. And at 10 o'clock was Kelsey.
It was Frasier.
Frasier. Between 9:30 and 10, they tried to... they wanted the shows. They really wanted to be hit shows. They stuck them in there because you're going to have all of Seinfeld's audience, and you're going to have the build-up to Frasier, so you're going to have the benefit of both of those audiences.
Exactly. So your philosophy being, or your opinion being, the fair-haired boy got to be...
Yeah, whatever producer was in the good graces of NBC... Or whatever show they thought really had it going on. Now, the two shows I remember that they put in there, Caroline in the City, which was foul beyond all recognition. Oh, come on, man. Would I lie to you? It wasn't funny. I didn't get it. And then another one that was just about as rancid as they get, the single guy, shit.
What was wrong with that?
It wasn't any wonder he was single, I can give you that much. And I think they put one more in there, and I think it was something about the three blind pigs or something. But these shows they put in there, wait a minute, what was it called? They had Caroline in the City, they had the single guy, and then they had the fat ass, I don't know. I know it bugged me. And none of these shows does anybody remember.
Well, then it just goes to show you, you know, that you got to have
the goods.
You do. You got to have the goods. You got to have the writing, and you got to have the story, and you got to have, it's got to be compelling, and people want to see it. Because there's a school of thought which essentially says the following thing. Most shows are victims of bad scheduling. They're victims of just the luck of the draw in terms of their where they are on any given weeknight.
Yeah, and it's bullshit.
Not necessarily all of it, but there is an example where two shows that should have, if that was all true, two shows that should have been hits, and they weren't.
Well, you know, do they syndicate any of that Caroline in the City or any of that stuff?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And the single guy?
I don't think that either.
Who was that guy? Who was the guy that was the single guy? And you know who was in that show? One of my favorite actors of all time, a genius actor, and they stuck him in there as a doorman or some goddamn...
Oh, Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine. You have no idea. Ernest Borgnine won an Academy Award for Marty, and they got him. He's a doorman with the single guy walking around with his thing hanging out. Jesus.
So you think that's what was happening, huh?
That was the phoniest laugh. I just heard Phil go...
It was not a phone. I was laughing. You think that's what was happening?
I know that's what. What do you mean, do I think?
Ernest Borgnine was a doorman in the show, yeah. But the single guy's walking around with his thing hanging out?
Wasn't that... Look, the premise of the show... Wasn't that the premise of the show? How many of you folks listening, if you remember the single guy, the guy walked around all day long pulling it out and... Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. That was the whole laugh. Yeah, he's a single guy, and you think he's a man about town. Yeah, he's a man about town. He's pulling it out on subways, and he's showing it to Ernest Borgnine. To me, it's an amazing thing that he didn't get the life beaten out of him when he did that.
You know, I think you're bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Well, you can call bullshit. To my memory, that's what it was about.
So you could be wrong.
I suppose I could be wrong, but I'm betting money right now that the essential theme of the single guy was this guy that walked around town pulling his you-know-what out, flashing nuns, and then he'd go back to his apartment.
Listen to what you're saying, man. On network television?
Well, they didn't spell it out. They didn't do it, you know, they didn't know what you call it, splicity, you know?
What do you mean, splicity?
Don't piss me off, Phil.
All right. So General Shaw is talking with me here about, okay, so the single guy was based upon a guy that...
You heard me the first time.
Yeah, and then there was Caroline in the City. What was that about? Don't tell me she was involved in some kind of untoward activity.
No, Caroline in the City was a girl named Caroline, living in the city, going to work, going out on dates, and then coming home and collapsing on the floor or something and sobbing away into the night and the end. And then the next week, Caroline in the City, brought to you by Babbo Soap or whatever the hell. And then they showed a girl, she goes to work, and she makes a joke, and she gets something stuck in a typewriter. Ha ha. She comes home. She collapses in a heap on the floor, passes out on pills, and that's it. Thank you, Caroline. Next week, get out of here. What? Phil, the problem that you've got, you can't take the truth. You know, did you see these shows?
I have to tell you, I didn't. But I just refuse to believe.
I don't care what you refuse to believe. That doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you what these shows were about.
I refuse to believe that Single Guy was about a guy pulling his you-know-what out in public.
All right. What about Caroline in the City?
That, you know what, the way you describe that, that's probably closer to the reality of a lot of shows back in the 90s anyway.
Well, the 90s is when we peaked out on that whole, yeah, you know, you've got a friend in me or whatever the hell you call it. You know what they did in the 90s is they built on... The whole Cheers deal, that was the formula, you know, that everybody copied, that and Roseanne. And by the 90s, you had the, I'll tell you the show that Phil told me that he was a big, you're going to remember this, Phil, you loved Moesha, didn't you?
I love that show.
Jesus, now how is that?
I thought that show was a goddamn riot. It was funnier than hell. I watched that show. I remember it was on that and Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock from the... Now, that was a great show.
Yeah. I watched Third Rock. And then I got a chance to work when I did a pilot for NBC. French Stewart was in it.
Yeah.
And he was funny, creative. He's one of the one of those actors and comic actors is always thinking. I loved him.
And what about that Moesha?
Yeah, I thought that show was funny as hell. It was about a teenage girl and her friends and her family. And they were African-American. They were black. And they... And their take on culture was just a scream, man. I never missed it.
Now, there's a show. Is that in reruns anywhere?
I have no idea. If it was, man,
I bet you'd go down to the video store and you'd buy the whole collection, like your little girl, your little daughter, Kubi. What was her name?
Catherine?
Yeah, yeah, Catherine. Didn't she go and buy all the Friends?
She watched Friends like it was going out of style, man. She watched all of them. Would I go down and buy all the Boeishas? Probably not. But I thought that show was great.
What else did you watch?
In the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't remember. You know, I like I said, I'd get home, and the last thing I wanted to do was turn on TV, anything. I think I was out eating sushi, getting, you know, going to bed early. You know, I was hanging out with Yvonne in those days.
So did you ever watch that Twin Peaks?
I love Twin Peaks. The original Twin Peaks I watched.
Have you seen the new one?
No.
Why not?
I just haven't gotten around to it.
So what is it with you anyway? You try to...
There's nothing going on, General. I just haven't seen it, that's all.
And what about... See, the reason why I watch TV, Patsy, my wife, folks, has got me watching this until I've got, you know, the one eye... I used to kid my grandkids. If you watch enough television, your two eyeballs will meld together until you've got the one eye. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just something you tell kids. But I'm telling you right now, I watch so much television, I fear that my eyeballs will meld and I'll walk around with the one eyeball bugged out. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know what? Weirder things have happened.
I'll bet they have, but not that any of us have seen them. Well, this was enjoyable, General, talking to you about television.
Well, we didn't say anything about San Francisco, did we?
Well, other than to say that tonight at the Café du Nord on Market Street, I will be there. General Shaw will be there. Margaret's going to show up. Lots of people will show up, and I hope you do too, and come out and see our show. You know, it is not a stand-up show.
Well, that's the other thing you wanted to say.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I have nothing but the greatest respect for stand-up comics. They have amazing talent. They really do. And to be able to work an audience the way that they do it, and I can't do that, man. I've tried, but I just don't tell jokes. I've never been a joke teller, so what I do is I do, you know, characterizations, I do attitudes and things like that.
Yeah, you're just one of those weird, you're a weird ass.
Okay, I'm a weird ass. So Sketchfest is always fun because it's not really, there is stand-up at Sketchfest, but there's lots of other stuff too. There's improv and there's sketch comedy, and it's always fun to do, to be here. So that's where I'll be tonight. It'll be at 8 o'clock, 7:30 was the call time. That's why we had that 7:30.
What do you mean call? It's when you got
to
be there.
When I have to be there, yeah. 8 o'clock to 9:30, and then we are having a Facebook chat. Did I say 9:30? Why did I think we were ending at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, well, you told everybody there's going to be a Facebook chat at 9:30, and your ass is still going to be on stage.
Oh shit!
Yeah, nice one.
All right, folks. Well, as close to 9:30 as we can make it, we'll do a Facebook chat. A Facebook live chat. We cannot do a BSP chat because we are not at our studio. By the way, this entire podcast has been done on an iPhone.
Hey! And let me tell everybody why we're doing the podcast on iPhone. Because way back in 2015, when Phil was in Hawaii, he left half the podcast equipment in a rental car. I'm General Galen Shaw. Yeah! All right. Beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's essentially true.
Not essentially true. That everything I said is true.
I did. I left half the podcast equipment in a... But I did save the...
The good stuff you saved.
Yeah, I did save the laptop, the microphone. I forget what we left. But as it turns out, we're working on a much, much easier and more efficient way to do things. All right, folks. There's no out music this week, or today, I should say. There's no... nothing flashy. I'm just going to say goodbye to you. Remind you to see us tonight at the Café du Nord in San Francisco. that we will have a chat tonight, our regular BSP chat, but it's going to be on Facebook Live as close to 9:30 as we can make it. And of course, there will be a replay of that chat the following day. I hope the guys will record it and put it up for our BSPs. No Saturday movie, though.
Well, you're not going to have the movie, huh?
No, I don't think we're not going to get back in time to do the movie. We're not going to get back until Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. And that's the other thing. I think Horatio Sanz wanted to hang out.
Yeah, look at this guy dropping names. Jesus.
Well, he did. And we got a split.
Yeah, because Phil's got a new dog. So you got to go back and take care of this puppy. What, is it there by itself?
No, we got a dog sitter, okay? And but the dog sitter's splitting, so I got to get back. But anyway, that's what's happening. Appreciate you guys being with us. Thank you so much. Jesse Stevenson and his contributions to our 96 through 99 archive cannot be overstated. And I believe much of that has been uploaded. If you're a Backstage Pass member, our eternal thanks. If when you're in your travels over there and you're listening to some of that material, you can log it. Give us an idea as to the date, and we'll certainly upload that log onto the site. We also have other hours that we've been made aware of, offered by loyal listeners. Can't thank you enough, and we'll tell you who they are and when we're going to get those hours up as well as the days, the weeks, the months, the years. This has been a good year.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are coming through with some good sound.
Yeah, and Jesse, again, thank you, brother. And I know that I said to him we'd be talking to him about the rest of his stuff, but right now we're so overloaded that my guys are I don't know, what do you say,
they're backed up, which sounds kind of bad. It makes you think that maybe they're plugged up with some cheese or something.
In any event, we will get to it. Thank you very much, all. Thank you for listening. We will see you hopefully tonight at the Café du Nord or on our Facebook Live chat, or if not that, then we'll see you for our regular show, live streaming show Sunday night and Monday. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated. With me is General Galen Shaw. General?
Good night, everyone, and thank you very much. And remember to vote your conscience. Forget it.
And anyway, that's General Galen Shaw. I'm Phil Hendry on Podcast One.
Bye.